John chapter 8. Praying of God. Where in this great chapter the Lord was speaking to those that were in great ignorance. And you will remember in verse 19. When they said unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And so the Lord is speaking in this tremendous background of ignorance. And then, if you look down to verse 26, he says to them, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world. Praise the name of the Lord. He started to speak to the whole wide world, not just a bunch of Jews there. Loved their ignorance, wanted to remain in their ignorance, and so on. He said to them in verse 24, You shall die in your sins. That's what he said to them. You know, beloved, if Jesus had ever said that to me, I think I don't know what I would have done. You just think, if the Lord Jesus should have said that to you, if you would have been one of those people, and he'd have prophesied our death in our sins. When I read such words as these in the Bible, I don't know, something happened inside me. Some of the bomb falls out of my stomach nearly, and I tears spring to my eyes when I think of this. If he'd have said this to me, there would be no light anymore, no hope anywhere. Nothing. Nothing. You shall die in your sins. Whew. I remember a time in my life way back years ago when I preached on this in Brentford. And my subject that night comes back vividly. Well, I said I hadn't planned, so it didn't just come back. My subject was how to die. One of the verses I said, how not to die. Because you have to know how not to die as well as how to die. You mustn't die in your sins. And a tremendous thing, beloved, that God speaks to us in this manner. Now he says, I speak to the world. Now that means us. Blessed be the name. At that time we were of the world, we were unborn, but I mean when we came in we were born of the world. And he turns round and he talks to us all, and hallelujah. And he goes down, and we're told this when they said to him in chapter 33, verse 33, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the slave of sin, is the servant of sin. And the servant slave abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Hallelujah. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now then, beloved, I realize that I am a house. I realize I am a house. And God made me to be a house, for someone to live in. And I thank God that I heard, didn't hear Jesus say, ye shall die in your sins. But I heard, this is the thing I heard, that the servant shall not abide in me, the slave shall not abide in me forever.
No.
For the Son shall make me free. Verse 36.
No.
Inside here, glory be to the name of the Lord. I was a slave of sin. I was the slave of the devil. See, this is what Jesus said, that in Father's house there are ever so many abiding places or houses inside Father's house. God made me a mansion. I've got one of the mansions in Father's house. In Father's house, many men. Marvelous thing. And you see, there was a sense in which I was never in bondage to any man. Bless the name of the Lord. But you know, you can shout and glory in the fact that you weren't born a serf, if you go back to the old feudal system, and were born a yeoman, or whatever you want in your mind. But you were born a slave to sin. We were all born slaves to sin. We hadn't got an option. It was sold out long before we were born. Adam and Eve sold us in the garden. Sold us. Praise God. By one act of belief of Satan, obedience to Satan, they sold us all out. So by one act, the Son has made us free. Jesus Christ, by one great act, glory, and by one act too, when I believed it. I just had to believe him. Bless God for the day when light broke on my soul. And I saw this. Amen. And the Son, now, instead of a slave to sin, now a son, I abide forever.
Yeah.
I shall abide forever. Servant, slave doesn't abide in the house forever. But beloved brothers and sisters, we're going to abide forever. You see? What a wonderful thing. And praise him. I'm going to go on with him. Free indeed, verse 36, not in theory, not in doctrine, not in ideas, but indeed, I'm going to be free indeed. That means liberty. I'm going to be free in every circumstance, and my liberty is going to be shown to me, proved to me, everywhere. Doesn't matter what it is, where I go, how they come or how they go. Doesn't make any difference. Absolutely free. Glory. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how the Lord wants us to live, beloved, and go on with him. You see, in verse 44, he says to these people, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in it. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But the devil is the father of the lie. When he speaks lies, he's always speaking of his own. And Jesus makes this the great test of sonship. You do your father's will. You do the desires of your father. Always, if you're a son, you do father's desires. Excuse me, when you've been made utterly free. Praise the name of the Lord. And so, beloved, it is a marvelous thing for your heart to come to rest. Because this is what he said to you during the fathers. Lusts, he said to the unsaved people. Now he said to us, when we're truly God's children, when we've been really set free, then now you do Father's will. Now, you see, it's because people aren't set free that they always have an immense difficulty about this problem of God's will. They don't know where it lies, how they should do it. Involves their work, where they live, how they carry on. If this, that, and the other. Do you see? But he said, you will do the desires of your father. That's what he said. Now, you see, beloved, you will know the joy of this unless you believe that. You won't know the joy of it, even as you won't know the joy of being absolutely free, unless you believe. When you believe this, that you will do the will of your Father, glory be to the name of the Lord. You see, I'm not a slave anymore to do the devil's will. That's what slaves are for, to do the devil's will. I'm a free man, and I shall do God's will. I shall, you know. That's not a boast. It's not a boast. It's common sense. No boasting in common sense, is it? And once we see this, and we stop getting all worked up, making a big old sweat about it, and struggling, drawing attention to ourselves. I want to do God's will. I want to do God's will. Pray for me, but I want to do God's will. You see? And all this business. You see? Instead of making a boast and a sweat and drawing attention to it, saying, of course I should do God's will. The thing is, beloved, I've discovered, and of course, I'm getting old enough now to be able to tell you that I'm discovering that. It's simple, really. It's simple, really. That's right. If you can't believe that what you're doing now is God's will, how do you expect to be able to leave it tomorrow?
That's right.
What magic formula have you got? Somebody getting a verse flashing in their mind? A reference somewhere, you look at what? Somebody rang me up the other day, said, have you got a word for me? if God gives you a word for me, then you ring back, and I thought about it when I was talking. You rang back, I never got a word for me. Why should God give me a word for somebody else? Give it to me? Well, why? Where in the world? What is God so silly? Is God so stupid? See, but then you see, you and the Lord, you know how to get words from God.
What?
How do I know how to get words from God? Praise God. I just simply believe that I should do His will. That's all there is in that. And if I don't, well, you'll have to correct me when I get home, because there it is. And it's as simple as that. Oh, beloved, you know, he says the desires of your father in verse 44. He said to these people, that's what you'll do. And then that's what he said in verse 43. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? He said. He couldn't understand why they didn't understand what he was saying. Well, he could, but he was correct. And he knew, of course. Why is it you don't understand my speech? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So, yeah, well, we're not silly, we've all been educated. That wasn't what Jesus was meaning. But do you understand that this way of life that I'm talking about, that's what I mean. Do you understand my words? Or do you say, I must get a will from God, so up you go, fast for about 10 days, fling yourself on the bed, beat about, open the Bible, shut it again. Is that right? Well, let me remind you, the early church never had a Bible. I keep on reminding you about that. How would they have gone on about getting Malachi 4:1 or something? Or Isaiah 23:11. Their guess is at random. I don't see. I can get verses coming in my mind. It's ever so easy. The Bible is not a lottery book. And beloved, here we are. He tells me that I will do the deeds of my Father. Verse 41. He says, you do the deeds of your Father. That's right. That's what he means. They were terrible deeds, what they were doing. They were going to die in their sins. I'm not. I'm going to live in my holiness. I know it's God's gift to me, but it is mine. He's really given it to me. It's mine. I'm not keeping it out there and saying it's yours, the Lord. Keep imputing it to me. That's, it's mine. He's given it to me. I'm going to live in my holiness. You see? Peter, who said, not, do you think it's by our power or our holiness we've done this? We all say, no. He said, be ye holy. God said, you're to be holy as I am. You see? Peter, who said it? You'd have been her. This is all so simple, beloved. You see, you look down in this great scripture, verse 14. He says, I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. See, I know where I come from. I know where I'm going. You see? I know whence I've come and where I'm going. Glory. And then you see, beloved, you and I have got to be able to say, this is all in our own measure and order, of course. Verse 12. I'm the light of the world. Well, that's right, beloved. Any man that can talk about it, say, well, I know where I've come from and where I'm going. I know that I shall live in my holiness. And I know that I'm doing the deeds of my Father. He's a light in this world. There aren't many people like that. That's right. He's a light in this world. Praise God. And then just to show you whether you are, or whether you're just a swell-headed, old, boastful prig, you must read the opening story of John chapter 8. And see how Jesus dealt with that woman. Yes. That'll show you. You will do the deeds of your Father. Yeah, that's right. See? And this is what he said. It's how you deal with people in the end. Not whether you can talk nicely. I've got big ideas. And it's all very, very wonderful. You see in verse 23, he said, you're from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. Amen. And this is absolutely right, beloved. Not to be of this world at all. And I don't want to be. And I don't want, I'm not from me anymore, and I don't want any word or saying or deed of mine to be from beneath either. Yet from the lower nature. Now, nothing. All from above. Not a slave anymore, hallelujah. I'm one of the mansions, the abiding places. The Son set me free. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't this a precious thing? To have this knowledge in your heart. To know that the Father, in giving us birth, has made a thorough job of it. Glory. we do His will. And that He hasn't left us struggling at all. He says, if we commit sin, in verse 34, we're the slave of sin. That's what He said. And if we commit or do the deeds of Father, then we're a free man in Father's house. And we're doing Father's works for Him. What a precious thing this is, beloved. And since then, the devil was the father of the lie, now then, God is the Father of truth. You see? God's the Father of truth. He's the Father of it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Of course, if you talk like that, they say you're a Samaritan and you have a devil. That's right. Isn't this right? That's what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, beloved, it's a wonderful thing to know. And what I want you to understand and grasp in your hearts is this, that the Son makes free. Free. You are free. Free. Hallelujah. Jesus makes me free. Praise the name of the Lord. And you see, this is the way He's talking to those that believed on Him. There are lots of people who believe who aren't free. He said it to the Jews that believed on Him. You will see it high up in the chapter. He said, verse 30, as He spoke these words, many believed on Him, and He said to those Jews that believed on Him, if they believed. There are lots of people who believe that aren't free. Not free in the way that the Lord wants to be. Do you not see, beloved, that one of the great purposes of believing is to bring us through into absolute liberty? And if it hasn't brought us through into this liberty, somewhere we are muddled up in our believing. We've got to go through until this is operating in our lives. And, you know, as we go on with the Lord, we can get to such a place, and may God grant that all of us get there quick. In verse 29, He says, the Father sent me, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Glory. For I do always those things that please Him. Now that's where I want to be. And even though I want to be negatively free from things that come up from above, up from beneath, or that I want to be free of the devil, it is that I want to positively always do the things that please Father. Now, this is much more than just doing His will, it's doing His pleasure. That's better than doing His will. See, most people, His will, His will, they never seem to get beyond that. It's a constant. But how about doing His pleasure? That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Now, beloved, we can. We can get to the place where we always do the things that please Father. Praise the Lord. You know, Father was ever so pleased with the way He handled that woman.
in the washing house. Father was ever so pleased with Jesus for that. Isn't it wonderful that if you do something, you can know he's pleased with you? And not sort of like we're often exhorted in sermons to wait at the end of our life when we get well done, good and faithful service. And when we get home, you know, torn sails, shattered cordage, broken wreck sort of thing. There's a hymn like that. Did you know that in some people's books? These hymn books? Not like that, but I mean, no. To know that we've pleased Father in the way we've done something. You know, beloved, there's nothing like that on this earth. Nothing. You know that you're pleased by it. And I want to tell you this, it doesn't ever swell your head. It doesn't ever sort of get you a big headache. It most likely makes you weep. Most likely you get all sort of tender and melted inside and hardly talk to anybody. Because you please Father. It's something that makes you buy a tambourine, I tell you, and dance in shoes and leap about like something. It's something that makes you walk very tenderly, steadily, as far as to know that you've pleased him. You see, beloved, it's all part of the cross life. And that's very wonderful and powerful. And I want to get to this place when in verse 28, he says, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, that is, crucified him, then shall ye know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. And beloved, I want to tell you that you'll get to the place where you always please the Father, when you get to the place where you do nothing of yourself. This is far better than seeing his will. This is knowing that you're in it. And that you do nothing of yourself. But as the Father teaches you, you speak. Praise God. Amen. Isn't it a marvelous thing to do nothing of yourself? Amen. Now, this doesn't mean saying you'll cease to be a thinking, normal human being. It means that you will be the kind of human being that the Lord ever wanted you to be and first designed. And when men broke away from it, sent the original pattern into the world, even Jesus. Amen. That we should know that we can always do this thing. You know, this 8th chapter of John is a marvelous chapter. And you see, he could say all this knowing he was doing everything that pleased Father. Everything. He knew that it was leading him to Calvary, and yet he did it. He knew it was leading him to such a thing. If you do Father's will, you'll see what it will do. See? And on that truth comes the devil, and he exploits it. He makes it all seem terrible. This is where the devils are. If you do these things, it will have a certain conclusions and certain ends and so on and so on and so on. So it will. And glory be to God. You see? So what you want to do now is give the devil the brush off straight away. He tries to come on truth and distort it. Twist it. Make it seem horrible. But the truth is beautiful and glorious. Amen. And you will be a light in this world. And beloved, if this be the standard and measurement and norm of light, there isn't a lot of light about it. And yet, This was the theme, surely, of our meeting a little earlier. This people were groping for light. People are struggling through to know the truth somewhere. They want to know it. It's only this can set them free. Oh, I can sort of give you this little word that having just come back again from touring around. This is the same, it's the same cry. When can you come back? When can you come back? This is what we want. See? We want to know this truth. Now, beloved, look, Jesus said, while ye have light, walk in the light, that ye may become the children of light. That's right. So, beloved, let's do this together. Let's go on. We're of our Father. Praise God. And the desires of our Father we're going to do. That's right. You will. The desires of your Father you will do. Praise God. And though this doesn't lead us to presumption, it should lead us to abandonment. Where we believe it. And get on with it. For he who doubts the will of God for him accomplishes nothing. He hesitates, he's lost, he cannot give his heart to anything, he cannot concentrate and give up his best. He can't do it. Only when a man is doing the will of his Father, like Jesus, can he give his best. Jesus gave up his best because he was in the will of his Father. He knew this. And he was pleasing to him. He could. Nothing terrible. He only lived. He was over himself. And he got Calvary for his pains. That's right. So shall we be. It's only a matter of believing and not struggling. Of not trying on all the methods. Just walking with the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. Father's with me. He says, Father's with me. He's not left me alone. Glory. All right then, beloved. He's talked to the world. Have you got an ear to hear him? Have you gone near to him? Do you understand his speech? Do you see that he always talked from this consistent principle of life? And if what was true in him is true in me. Because he's made me free. Hallelujah. So it's all right. Just rest. It's all right. Stop struggling. You're getting a bigger miss. Why, I've heard stories you used to tell me when I was a boy, when I went to the swimming baths, and I suppose lots of you have heard how I used to go to the swimming baths. I used to go in the box and undress, go to the water, put the big toe in, and then go back and dress. Always being somebody that hated the cold. I suppose it's because I was born in the north. But I don't know. But they used to tell me terrific stories about life saving. Now you have to get your life saving. When anybody struggles in the water, what you do is hit them under the jaw and knock them out. You see. Then you get behind them, put your hand under their chin and pull them in. That's right. So you have to stop them struggling first. You'll never get them through if you don't stop them struggling. If they struggle, they'll pull you down, they said. That's what they used to tell me. Hair-raising stories they were. I never got as far as life-saving that method. God preserved a better life-saving but this is a tremendous thing, beloved. It is so wonderfully true. If you give up all this nonsense called Christianity, struggling and puffing and blowing, wanting everybody else to pray for you to find the will of God, and all this, and just know that God's never muffed anything He's done.
All right.
He's never muddled anything. Never. Never. And He sent His pattern man into the world, Jesus Christ. The Son has made me free. And He's made you free, has He?
Amen. Free. Glory.
Amen. And, well, just keep going on. Let's pray, shall we?